Tonight I use as my text verse, verse 16, the last verse we read from Hebrews chapter 4, where the Bible says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Adam told the choir tonight that we look tired, and you do look a little bit tired. Probably had a big day, things going on, and so I'll be brief tonight, although every time I say that, I usually go longer than my normal, but I plan to be brief tonight, and I just want to mention a sweet truth that comes from this verse in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, and three thoughts that it brings to mind, and then I'm going to end with three other things as I close out. But here's the three thoughts. This verse implies, number one, that there's going to be time of special need. All of us have needs every day. I mean, we need to be fed. We need a place to live. We need clothes to wear. And all of us have burdens that we bear every day. I mean, burdens that come into our life because situations are in our life, things with our family, things maybe with our job, with our friends. All of us have trials every day. Things that we have to face. I mean, Paul talked about the Christian life as a race, as a wrestling match, as a boxing match. And every day, our Father, God, our good shepherd, as it says in Psalm 23, our guide, he meets those needs. The needs that we have, everyday needs, he meets every one of them. Everyday burdens that we have, he helps us carry those. Everyday trials that we face, he helps us face those. And the Bible teaches us that we as his child have the right to go to him for those everyday needs and everyday burdens and everyday trials and ask for his help. In fact, remember the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray in answer to the request. Lord, you know, John taught his disciples how to pray. Would you teach us how to pray? He said, well, when you pray, don't use the repetitious phrases that the scribes do. But when you pray, pray like this: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And in that prayer, it says, give us our daily bread. And so God has given us the right, the privilege to come to him on a daily basis and ask for the things that we need. But if you look at the last part of verse 16, if you still have your Bibles open, you'll see that it says, and find grace to help in time of need. And as you study those words in the Greek, what those words are talking about in the time of need is not the everyday needs. It's not the everyday trials. It's not the everyday burdens that we carry. But the words imply that there will become times where we will have a special heavy burden, or we will face a heavy trial, or we will have a need that outweighs our everyday needs, but a need that comes into our life where we need special help from God. And most of us have had or will have times like that. Those heavy needs come, for example, when we lose a loved one, when a spouse dies and goes to heaven. That's a special time of need. They come when, as some in our church have suffered, when they lose a little baby. That's a special time of need. They come when maybe a child, you have problems with a child, and they run away from home. I ran away from home when I was a kid, but I never got farther than the end of the block. And my mom always knew where to look for me. And I didn't run much further than that because I liked to eat. But anyhow, I'm not talking about times like that. I'm talking about times when you have a special need, a special problem. And again, there are some people that are in our church that are going through a time like that right now. If you're not, praise the Lord, but there might come a time in the near future where you will have one of those special times of need, a special burden, a special trial. And this verse says that there will be times like this. It says, number two, that in those special times of need, in that grace to find time in the time of need, in those special needs, in those special burdens, in those special trials, that God will give us what we need. Now, he gives us what we need every day. as I've talked about the last couple of weeks, made comments about it. Sometimes we don't realize that our everyday needs are met from God because we have food in our cupboard and food in the freezer, and you know, we got money in the bank, and we don't realize that the blessings come from God. But we need to remember that the everyday meeting of our needs is done by God. I mean, every day he gives us what we need. I mean, again, he does that maybe through the cupboard or maybe through the freezer or maybe through the money in the bank. But he will give us every day what we need. He can handle the everyday burdens of life. He can handle the everyday trials of life. But when the big trials come and when the big burdens come and when the special times of need come into our life, we have a God that's able to handle those as well. I mean, we don't need to doubt God's ability to help us when we have a special need. We don't need to doubt God's ability when we have a special burden. We don't need to doubt God's ability when we have something that's heavy in our life. Doesn't happen every day, happens every now and then, but we don't need to doubt God's ability to handle that. As we sang in the first song, he's able. He is able to deliver us from whatever he allows to come into our life. And it says, I'm glad it says, maybe you'll find grace. I'm glad it doesn't say, maybe you'll find grace, or perhaps you'll find grace. But it says, very positively, you will find grace in those times of need. We can go to God knowing that in those special burdens, special trials, special times of need, he has the ability to meet them. And in those times of special need, will give us what we need every time. Every time. Now, I know sometimes it seems like God takes a while to do that. I know sometimes we wonder and we try to help God and say, well, I would have handled it a different way than you did. But we just need to step back in faith and know that God is God, and what he allows to come into our life, he has a plan for. And the Bible says there's no temptation that's common to man that God brings into a life that he doesn't give us a way of escape. In other words, a way to handle it. And so he is able, when those special times come, to help us. And then here's a third thought that comes to mind as we read that verse. That help that we need in those special times doesn't come from man. It comes from God. Notice what it says. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, God puts people in our life that helps us. I mean, he puts our moms and dads in our life to help us. He puts friends in our life to help us. He puts Sunday school teachers and pastors in our life to help us. But when a special need comes, we have the privilege to go to the throne of grace, where the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God sits and dwells. And we can go to that God and we can ask and let him know what we're going through. And by the way, he already knows, but he likes for us to tell us. And we can tell him what we need, knowing that he knows what we're going through. Isn't it interesting that the verse right before verse 16 says, for we have not a high priest which should not be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus was tempted in every point like as we. Now, a lot of people, when they hear that, say, yeah, he went into the wilderness for 40 days and he was tempted of Satan. And he was. And we face those same temptations from Satan. But that's not the only thing this verse is talking about. This verse is talking about the day-to-day trials and burdens and needs that we face. And are we going to trust God? Are we going to depend on him? But it's also talking about those special times that come into our life. Again, not everyday needs, not everyday burdens, not everyday trials, but the special time of need, the special time of burden, the special time of trials. And we can go boldly into the throne of grace, knowing that the one who sits on his throne, or sits at the right hand of the one on the throne, knows what we're going through, because he has experienced every single one of them. And I've had people talk to me and say, well, preacher, you know, Jesus never got old. How could he know the trials and the burdens and the heartaches that you have when you get old? He never was a father. He never was a mother. He never had to raise children. How could he know what we go through as parents? He never was a grandparent. How can he know what we go through as grandparents? And I can't explain it to you tonight. All I can do is hold up this book and say, I believe this book. And when God says that his son was tempted in all points like as we, in all our infirmities, somehow, some way, God let him feel every need, the day-to-day needs, and every special need that will come into our life, God let him experience those somehow on this earth so that when we come to him in those special times of need, we don't have to wonder about, well, he doesn't know what we're talking about, because he does. We don't have to wonder that, well, maybe he can't handle this because he's never been through it. He has. And he, in all points, like as we. And so when we get discouraged, when we get down, when we get to wondering, can my God help? We need to remember that he's been through it and can give us what we need to get through it as well. Now, how do we get it? Well, this verse tells us. We go boldly unto the throne of grace. Not presumptuously, but boldly. There's a difference. I don't presume that God owes me anything, and he doesn't. But he gives me the privilege as a child of his to come boldly into the throne room. Now you see, the way things are set up when you have a king, not just anybody gets to walk into the throne room. I remember one time I got to go on a trip to Sweden, and they took us to the castle where the king and queen of Sweden lived. And they opened up the throne room and let us walk into that room and actually see two thrones where the king and queen held court, and all the ornate decorations and tapestries that were hung on the walls around it. And you were just overwhelmed by all the majesty that was in the room. And we talked about it. That was a room that you would not go in unless you were invited. I mean, you just wouldn't, you know, go in off the street and say, hey, well, I'd like to see the king and go into the throne room. It doesn't happen that way in Sweden or any place else. I mean, you probably couldn't get in to see the Queen of England unless, you know, you made an appointment, follow the proper protocol. There's a protocol for going into the throne room. You remember back in the book of Esther that the law was that if you went in to see the king, even as his wife, even as the queen, uninvited, and he didn't hold out the scepter, thank you, the scepter to you. Adam always says, I always say that word wrong. He always shakes his head. The scepter, and if he didn't hold out that thing to you, and you come and touch it, you would be killed. I mean, that was the law. There was a protocol for going in to see the king. This verse says we don't have to worry about the protocol. We're a child of the king. You see, the king's little boy doesn't call him your majesty, he calls him daddy. The queen's little girl doesn't call her your majesty, she calls her mommy. And we have the right to go boldly into the throne room because we are a child of the king. I remember a story I read about Abraham Lincoln. It was the middle of the Civil War, and he was with his cabinet behind closed doors. And his little boy, I think his name was Todd, came to the door. And of course, there was a Secret Service or a military guard by the door. And this little boy said, I need to see the president. Soldier didn't know who he was and said, well, I'm sorry, son, you can't see the president. He's tied up in an important meeting right now. And the little boy said, "But oh, no, you don't understand. President's my dad. I need to see him right now." Soldier knocked on the door and said, Mr. President, Todd needs to see you. And President Lincoln, so the story goes, told the cabinet, take a break, and went out and took care of what Todd needed taken care of. I read a story about a Roman soldier that was coming back, a Roman commander that was coming back from war, and they were having a big parade to celebrate all his victories, and there was a little boy that ran out from the crowd, and the crowd just sort of gasped because that was not proper. You didn't do that. And in fact, anybody that ran out and approached the conquering hero would be automatically killed. And so they were worried about this little boy until they saw that Roman soldier reach down and scoop him up in his arms and say, "Don't worry, it's my son. It's my son." Sons have special privilege when it comes to the King. And that's why this verse says that we can come boldly into the throne of grace and find grace and help in time of need. Now, so those are the three thoughts that this verse brings to my mind. There will be time of special need. And in that time of special need, God has what we need. And we can boldly approach Him and ask for that help. Now, let me just share with you a couple other, one other thing. All the, well, not all, but most of the time in the Bible, when the Bible refers to God as our Father, it uses that word Father. Father. Our Father, which art in heaven. And most of the time, it uses the word Father. There are three verses in the Bible that uses a different word for Father. Just three. Three verses in the Bible that doesn't use that word Father, but uses a word that's closer to Daddy. To Daddy. Abba. Same meaning, but a closer term. Father, Daddy. I mean, same person. Harry's probably Father now that his kids are older, but when they were little, they probably called him Daddy. Sometimes I see Teresa come in and talk to Leonard and say, "Hello, Father." But I'm sure, and he says, "Hello, daughter." And I'm sure there was a time when she was little, she didn't say, "Hello, Father." She said, "Daddy." And it's the way we are. Now, there are three verses in the Bible that where it says that we can approach our Heavenly Father and He encourages us to call Him Daddy. Daddy. The first one is in Mark chapter 14, verse 36, where it says, "And He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto Thee. Take away this cup from Me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what Thou wilt." Of course, this was Jesus talking. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane after the Last Supper with the disciples. He'd left eight of them at the entrance of the garden and taken three, Peter, James, and John, a little bit deeper in the garden and asked them to watch and pray with him. And he went a little bit further than they did. The Bible says, on his knees, prayed, "Abba, Father, Daddy, Father, if it's possible, take this cup away from me." You see, he was in a special time of need in his life. He was about to face the cross. He was about to face the trial and the persecution that he would go through before he went to the cross. He was about to be forsaken by all his disciples. They were going to run. He was about to be denied by Peter. I think he even knew that he was about to be disowned by God, that God was going to turn his back on him for those three or so hours that the sun refused to shine. And I think he knew that he was going to call out, my God, not my Father, but my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" And again, we know that God forsook his Son, turned his back on his Son, because Jesus bore all our sin. And God meted out to his Son the punishment of our sin, separation from him. And so as Jesus was in the middle of that trial, in the middle of that persecution, in the middle of being forsaken, in the middle of being crucified, he cried out to God and didn't say, "My Father," but said, "Abba, Daddy, Daddy." And God is telling us in conjunction with this verse here that when special times of need come, when special burdens come, when special trials come, in that time of need that this verse is talking about, that we can go to God and we can say, "Daddy, I need your help to get through it." can't do it by myself. Daddy, I need you to help me. I need you to help me. The second time that this word Abba or Daddy is used is in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, where the Bible says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Now, what God's saying is, not only when we're in the midst of those special times can we call him Daddy, but when we see them coming, when we go to the doctor and say, and the doctor says, "Well, it doesn't look good," and we see that special need coming, God says, "Hey, you can come and you can call me Daddy. You can come and let me know what you think's about to happen. And when you do that, you can call me Daddy." When we see a problem coming and we see a heartache coming, a special heartache, special trial, hadn't got there yet, but it's like that verse talks about, that spirit of fear, and we can see it coming, God says, in those times, you can come and you can call me Daddy. And you can tell me what you need. And then the third time, last time I'll close with this, is found in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, where the Bible says, "And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." If you go back and study the book of Galatians, Galatians compares the strictness of the law with the love of God. And in chapter 4, when it's talking about that, where this verse is in the middle of it, Paul's talking to those Christians that have been saved by grace, but who have backslidden, who have turned, fallen away from God, gone back to the law. And Paul is saying that when they realize that sin, when they've quit operating in grace and gone back to the law and know they need to come back to grace, know they need to come back to God, they can come to him and say, "Daddy, Daddy." I was thinking about the story of the prodigal son for a little bit this afternoon. I went back and read it. The word Abba is not used in that story. When the prodigal son came back, he had his speech all rehearsed, and he said, "Father, I'm not worthy to be called thy son anymore. I've sinned. I've dishonored your name. Done things I shouldn't have done. And I just want you to make me one of your servants. I don't deserve to be a son anymore. And I can't wait to get to heaven to talk to that father." And I know you're saying, "Well, it's probably a parable, but I think there's probably a true story behind it somewhere that Jesus told." And talk to that father and talk to that son and see if that son, when he came back to his father, didn't come back and didn't say, "Father," but said, "Daddy, I've messed up. I need you to forgive me. I need you to let me come home." And God says, when we wander away from him, we come back and say, "Daddy, will you let me come back? Will you let me come back home?" Knowing that just like the father and the prodigal son went out before the son even got home, God will come to us and restore us to that position of sonship. So, Abba, Father, when we are in the middle of a need, when we see it coming, or when we've turned away from God, God says, "Hey, you come back. You don't have to call me Father. You can call me Daddy." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for these truths from your word. And I pray, Father, for those in our church that are right now in the middle of a special need. I pray that you'd remind them that they have a God that's able and you can meet even the big needs. And then, Father, I pray for tonight that if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus, that tonight they'd see the biggest need that they have is for a Savior. And Jesus is the only one. And so I pray they'd come tonight and we could take the Bible and show them from the Bible what it is to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Bless this time of invitation. Use it to accomplish in our lives what you know needs to be done. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.